Most of you know SeaWorld to be one of the major theme parks in North America. Across all of its parks, spanning from San Diego to its headquarters in Orlando, Florida, their parks attract over 11 million visitors each year to see their famous orca whale shows and sea life that was once unattainable to everyone's eyes. At SeaWorld, you can see anything from a 9,000-pound orca whale perform aerial tricks all the way to feeding penguins with your kids in one afternoon. In 1964, the company was originally said to become an underwater restaurant that would showcase sea life. Founded by four UCLA graduates, the original idea of the restaurant slowly became a larger entertainment platform that would give visitors much more than a burger and a sea lion barking in their face.
I like rubbery dolphins and blubbery whales, big floppy flippers and short floppy tails. I like getting splashed by my friend Shamu, cause best of all I like SeaWorld. I like the scurry walruses, big scary sharks, fun things to play on and sea lions that bark. I like the squeeze at Flamingo Knees, best of all I like
SeaWorld went from an investment of $1.5 million in 1964 to the whopping gross revenue of $1.4 billion in 2013. All of this success came to a halt in 2013 when the Blackfish documentary premiered at Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah.
When you look into their eyes, you know somebody is home.
They're an animal that possesses great spiritual power, not to be meddled with.
Thought that in a theater in the snowy mountains of Utah, a wave of controversy and turmoil was brewing for the large sea life entertainment company. Today on Branded, we'll be uncovering the poor strategic communications carried out by SeaWorld PR reps and how they could have effectively handled the extreme backlash from animal rights groups and negative press provided by large media conglomerates. This is Branded. On February 24th, 2010, senior animal trainer at SeaWorld Orlando, Don Bradshaw, was tragically killed by one of her orcas, Tilikum.
Orange County Sheriff's Office.
We need SO to respond for a dead person at SeaWorld. A whale has eaten one of the trainers.
A whale ate one of the trainers?
That's correct.
The first penalties paid by SeaWorld were $75,000 in fines due to poor safety regulations that came into play during the attack on the trainer. Along with capturing the tragic death of Don, the documentary highlights poor animal treatment and business practices that put profit in front of what is right for the animals. SeaWorld at this time became a top-tier target for organizations like PETA that worked in partnership with the documentary to show the rise of the corrupt entertainment company that exposes animals for money. For instance, after the tragic death on February 24th, they put out a tweet on Shamu's Twitter page that stated, "At this difficult time, Shamu will not be active. For Twitter updates, follow at SeaWorld Parks." This is a testament to show that SeaWorld not only negates poor business practices that were evident in their past, they advocated and protected their practices even when change was the only way for SeaWorld to survive. SeaWorld execs looked at themselves and looked at the backlash of the documentary and the efforts sustained by PETA and said to themselves, let's not change. Let's try and defend what we have and what we've been doing since 1964.
Mike, what does this mean for SeaWorld?
Well, Matt, right now, nothing. But the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has put SeaWorld on notice that the agency could soon be taking action against the company. Now, the SEC has been investigating allegations that SeaWorld executives misled investors about the documentary Blackfish and the negative impact it was having on theme park attendance. Staff members with the SEC have recommended that a civil enforcement action be taken against SeaWorld. The SEC staff members allege that SeaWorld violated certain provisions violations of U.S. federal securities law. The staff will now be passing their recommendations on to the full Securities and Exchange Commission. If found in violation of federal securities laws, SeaWorld could potentially be ordered to pay civil penalties. Now, this investigation by the SEC is completely separate from a criminal fraud investigation into SeaWorld that's being conducted by the U.S. Department of Justice. But both of those probes involve the way SeaWorld responded to investors about Blackfish.
In 2013, SeaWorld put out an open letter with large media conglomerates that explained in detail its care for all orcas at SeaWorld parks. The letter provided six statements that were directly related to the accusations that were in the Blackfish documentary. SeaWorld does not capture killer whales in the wild. We do not separate killer whale moms and calves. SeaWorld has invested millions of dollars in the care of our killer whales. SeaWorld's killer whales' lifespan are equivalent with those in the wild. The killer whales of those in our care benefit those in the wild. And SeaWorld is a world leader in animal rescue. This open letter distributed out to newspapers did not come anywhere close to how much of an impact social media did for the Blackfish documentary and the efforts of PETA. To put it into perspective, according to Twitter, there were 67,673 tweets about Blackfish seen by almost 7.3 million people the night the film aired. CNN used tactics to gain a larger audience for Blackfish by receiving support from celebrities with large followings and activist groups that also had large followings. Social media completely and utterly destroyed the reputation of SeaWorld in a matter of a few months. And SeaWorld execs were now faced with a multi-year crisis that they were not equipped for. The issue for SeaWorld fell into two categories. Number one, being that SeaWorld decided to take a defensive approach to their out-of-date and harmful practices that affected their animals.
And number two, they waited too long to effectively use social media instead of traditional media, like issuing out an open letter in newspapers. This is like the equivalent of watering your front yard with Gatorade. Using methods that are out-of-date and no longer effective, and expecting results that are going to benefit you, but in all reality, you're just going to end up with dead grass.
SeaWorld's reputation, and amid PETA's social media tactics to keep hashtag Blackfish relevant, multiple business partners and upcoming performers for the theme park began to disassociate themselves. In 2014, SeaWorld was hit the hardest.
They lost partnership with many entertainers and large companies, ultimately causing them a large loss in revenue and audience reach. The first initial entertainer to cancel were the Bare Naked Ladies, then Willie Nelson, followed by Hart, and even Joan Jett asked SeaWorld to discontinue the use of her famous song, I Love Rock and Roll, during the Shamu Rock's opening number. Along with these entertainers, companies like Southwest Airlines, Alaska Airlines, and Virgin Airlines ended their partnership with SeaWorld.
This multi-year crisis hit its lowest point for SeaWorld in 2017, when the company returned a gross revenue of $1.2 billion. It was at this point that SeaWorld began to make strides in advocacy and accommodation for those who criticized the nature of their sea park.
Once SeaWorld had made efforts to gain back the trust of consumers, SeaWorld began to make amends with those who criticized and slowly began to make a comeback in 2019. The company had reached a gross revenue of $1.4 billion and attendance had gone up. In 2015, SeaWorld began to phase out all killer whale shows and had planned to not have any by 2017.
This is a play for advocacy and accommodation in efforts to satisfy guests of their sea park and not those who criticize SeaWorld. In a statement provided by the new CEO, Joe Manby, we didn't do anything in San Diego because of activists, we did it because we're hearing from our guests.
Either way you look at this multi-year crisis, there are benefits to accommodation and advocacy that SeaWorld decided to utilize too late, and they did not use the correct channels of media. Social media convergence has been on an exponential rise since the early 2000s, and companies who don't use them to their advantage are subject to immediate harm. Think about how SeaWorld could have deterred any damage if they used social media, advocacy, and accommodation during the apex of their crisis. Maybe Shamu would still have a show. So you just listened to the first episode of Branded. We went over the multi-year PR crisis that hit SeaWorld in 2013 from the Blackfish documentary. I thought it was a pretty interesting episode to kind of research for, considering that SeaWorld is one of those entertainment parks that kind of blends the two worlds of like a Disneyland and like a zoo.
Right.
Which is kind of fucked up to a degree. It's like, let's make the animals.
Let's
it's
make
a circus.
Money off of these endangered animals.
Exactly. Doesn't that sound like fun? Doesn't that be great? No, but I don't know. To me, it was really interesting from the standpoint of like seeing how you could manage social media at that time to help deter any crisis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought that was one of the most interesting points. What was it for you?
When they posted on their Twitter amid the whole crisis. Didn't even acknowledge a crisis.
I know.
But instead saying, oh, Shamu is not available right now. For more information or to see whatever, go to the other Twitter page.
Right.
And I'm like, wow.
They didn't even confront
if that
it.
Was here today in 2020.
Right.
You would be you'd canceled.
Be gone. You'd be over. And I thought that's like calling like, hey, there's like a fire going on. And like you call like the fire department and they're like, hey. Like, we're eating chili right now.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
You guys got, like, that sucks, but, like, we got to eat this chili. Like,
oh my
that's
gosh.
Literally what it's like. And they decided that that was the best way to combat it. And then they didn't even talk about it for, like, 6 months. And that's when they released a newspaper ad.
Yeah.
You
and
just
that's what they should have done in the beginning.
What? The social media?
The newspaper ad in the beginning.
Well, yeah. At least the newspaper ad. But I'm not even talking that. They should have responded on social media. They should have, you know what I mean? They should have, like, actually put something out there that said, listen, we really apologize. We are trying to work together with these groups and advocate for a solution to this issue. Or,
but also, social media is much more bigger than it was in, what, 2014?
Yes, yes.
So
they didn't
times
know.
Times have changed where, like, now people are like, hey, we have this company. We need, like, social media managers to manage our shit.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was definitely to manage
crazy.
That shit. Yeah, it was definitely something that wasn't newer at the time, but it was being used in a different format that really greatly affected them.
Yeah.
But what else did you kind of pull out of this one?
I just really thought it was interesting, like, researching SeaWorld because it's not a relevant company that we all talk about now.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
In 2020. So it's good to do the research and then kind of see, like, wow, like, they really fucked up, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I think that SeaWorld, like, we don't talk about SeaWorld. I don't actively look at my friends and I'm like, hey guys, you know what'd be really fun? Let's go to SeaWorld. You know, like, I don't, like, let's go, like, look at a really depressed whale, you know, like, in a giant
Yeah, we're
tank.
Not actively talking about animal rights.
Yeah, I mean,
day
like,
in, day out.
No, and I'm an advocate for the issue.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's great. But, like, I'm not. Like, me as a consumer, I'm not going to decide that, you know what, guys, this is the moment where we're going to just go to SeaWorld, get really overpriced drinks, and look at really depressed animals. That's not in my agenda.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see how, I thought it was also interesting to see the, how Sundance affected this
they really reach a larger audience blew up.
That was really interesting to me, and it made me kind of feel more connected to, because I went to Sundance earlier this year. Name drop, it was fucking bomb, sorry. I shouldn't say it like that, but I went to Sundance earlier this year and it was a great experience. I had to go out there with a lot of great people, and one of the things that I had the chance to do is I got to see a lot of documentaries. And the documentaries, there's a feeling in them when you're in the theater with the filmmakers and with the people who are actually in the documentary, there's a feeling of change that you can't just like get anywhere else.
Right.
So when they were talking about how, you know, this festival really kind of like launched it and CNN was a partner in that, it felt very real to me, because I've actually been in those rooms with those people with documentarians who are showing their work and showing the extensive journalism that they've done to show this point or to get the story out. So I thought that was really interesting. Thought that was fun. I don't know, it was a interesting part to see how
behind the scenes look.
It was like a behind the scenes look, and it just shows how important art is in that, yes, in that category. When you show a story that can affect and create change, that's one of the biggest reasons why you promote art. That's why you're with, that's mm-hmm. why I do art personally, and advocate for it. And I think this was a really, really interesting story to see it come to fruition. Larger effect. I don't know, it just shows how it can, that's why I kind of started out the episode with that it started in like the snowy hills mm-hmm. of Park City, Utah, because that little moment of change,
right,
you know, is so crucial to seeing the larger picture.
Yeah.
And when you do that, or when you create art like that, it's really empowering and it's really special.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, yeah, I'm not really, like I told you, I don't really care. I was at SeaWorld. In fact, I'll give you a funny SeaWorld story.
Okay.
Because my family is from San Diego.
Yeah.
And this is the only connection I have to SeaWorld, and it makes me think about this every single time. Anytime okay. I brought it up, or when I was doing research for it.
Yeah.
So I went to SeaWorld a long time ago with my family, and it was a big family thing. We all went, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And I was a bit of a huskier boy growing up.
He and, always says this in his stories.
I was a large.
He says this in all his stories. I was a husky.
Yeah, I was the extra large and in charge little boy that would walk in and with his bowl haircut and, you know, proceed to dominate. But the, so I'm there, yeah, and one of the side effects of being lay husky was that we went to the Shamu show, and yeah, I got splashed, because that's what happens when you go to the Shamu show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wearing jorts.
What?
I was wearing jean shorts. So I'm wearing jean shorts, and I remember just chafing the whole time. that's my only memory of SeaWorld.
No.
Just chafing in these jorts.
Ew.
And I was like maybe 10, and I was just wandering.
That's painful.
Oh, it was awful. I just remember like eating a churro just in immense.
They had churros back then?
They did. Wow. Just immense pain. Just like,
did you tell your parents?
Oh, absolutely. I told them I can't walk. It was this.
And
is
they
my,
were like, suck it up,
Ryan. They're like, what are you doing? Like, man up. And I'm like, you're right.
My gosh.
And then like I put on my false masculine mask, and I just just proceeded about my day.
No.
But that's a true story. I went to SeaWorld and I chafed everything in all the nooks and crannies.
Why would you wear jeans in the summer?
You're telling me.
In
I don't
San
know.
Diego.
In San Diego, in SeaWorld.
Oh my god.
I don't know. In my 10-year-old brain, I said, you know what, this is the best time to do this. You know what would go great with my SeaWorld day? Jean shorts. But yeah, I don't know. It was an interesting story. Have you ever been to SeaWorld?
No.
You've never been to SeaWorld?
Well, not that I remember, but I think my parents tell me stories about it that I have been.
That like you've actually been to
I have
SeaWorld.
Photos.
Well, we need to get your mom on it. So you wait, so you have been there when you were young?
Yes, in Mall of America.
No, 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 that's a different one. No, no, no.
Oh, then what is that? In Mall of America?
Mall of America, they have like their own like aquarium.
Okay.
That's
then,
in Minnesota,
no,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then I've never been to SeaWorld.
Oh, damn. Well, you know, anytime I have extra pairs of jorts if you ever want to go to SeaWorld. Yeah, SeaWorld's a trip, man. I don't even know how they're still going.
Well, like, did you like enjoy your time, or you were like focused on the pain the whole day?
The day started out great.
Yeah.
Like the day was fantastic.
So it happened once you got wet.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. As soon as it like and it just started,
like inner thighs?
Inner thighs. Oh yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. It was very painful, but it was a memory of SeaWorld that I will never forget.
Wow. This is the male equivalent of like when the Fashion Nova girls talk about their jeans being too tight.
It was like that for me. I was down the runway at SeaWorld going,
oh my gosh.
Like, it was just, I couldn't, like, the feeling, I can't explain it. It was just so, like, it was like pins and needles on my inner thighs. And I was like, this is insane. It's hard to like have your pants like almost killing you and enjoy dolphins. You know what I mean? Like you can't just sit there and be like, oh wow, that's like a really cool trick. My crotch is on fire.
Oh my god. You know? Like,
that's how it went down. But wow. Like I said, it was a memory of SeaWorld that I will never ever forget.
Thank you for listening to Branded. If you have any suggestions for topics on the show, you can email us at brandedpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also interact with us on our Instagram @brandedpodcast. Also, make sure to tune in and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Gabby Weaver.
And I'm Ryan Ballas. We will see you in 2 weeks.